Bruce Williamson is on the line. Bruce is from Rail Future, which is a campaign group for better rail services. Hello, Bruce.
Hi.
Somerset Services, then. Two operators here that do the main routes in the county. How would you sum them up? Do you know much about them? Are they okay?
Well, I'm pleased to say that my experience of travelling on rail in Somerset is nowhere near as bad as poor old Michael, we heard from just a moment ago.
Yeah.
But there is certainly a problem across the network with overcrowding. The other main bugbear, again, across the network, is the level of fares. So this would apply to almost any rail company. So I'm kind of scratching my head trying to work out what makes First Great Western and Southwest trains so much worse than all the others. And I don't have an answer, I'm afraid.
No, it's difficult to pinpoint exactly why. I mean, but that huge difference between Merseyrail at the top of the list of around 70% satisfaction and the services right towards the bottom of the list suggests that companies are doing things quite differently to each other.
Yeah, there's rolling stock to consider, of course. You know, different lines have different railways and different trains, rather. And we have some of the oldest in the country. We've got these very unloved sprinters. And although people do love the old Intercity 125s, they're nearly 40 years old now.
Mm.
And there's also been recently major works at Reading, and we've had things like the landslip. So I don't know when this survey was actually conducted, but those sort of delays to the timetable obviously, you know, cause people dissatisfaction, and that might be reflected in the scores as well.
The weather of late hasn't helped the train services. Can we be sympathetic towards them because of the flooding and because of the stormy weather, or should they be able to deal with that as well? Should the networks be resilient?
Well, the network certainly should be more resilient. I mean, yeah, when the railway line is closed for a landslip or whatever, there's not really much that the train company can do about it, other than divert trains. And you make a very good point there about network resilience. It's these alternative routes which are really important, so that the disruption can be kept to a minimum. And there's definitely a bottleneck between Yeovil and Exeter, where that line is largely singled, and we'd like to see that doubled throughout. And I think in the long term that will become essential. And looking further down towards the southwest, alternative routes to Plymouth and so on. So yeah, there's a lot more that can be done in terms of network resilience. And we've got to bear in mind as well that, you know, we're looking at rail passenger use just going up and up and up for the last 20 years, and so the government and Network Rail and the train operating companies have to sort of plan in advance to accommodate this continuing growth in passenger numbers.
The rail franchises that are around in this country, seven of them end in the next 2 years, which is quite a lot. Has that got the potential to make changes for the benefit of people like me and you who use the trains?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, it's because it's a sort of a competitive tendering process, you would hope, wouldn't you, that the rail companies would be fighting to offer the best possible service. But we need to remember that these franchises, the people who operate them don't really have a lot of room for manoeuvre, because they're sort of micromanaged by the government. So things like the level of fares and which trains you're allowed to use are dictated to the train operating company. So they can't do a great deal. They can only sort of offer sort of fringe benefits like Wi-Fi on trains and things like that, which is all very welcome. But you know, the blame at the bottom of at the end of the day really has to lie with the government.
The suggestions we're getting in this morning are based around punctuality, particularly crowded trains as well. People want to be able to get a seat, obviously, and have their luggage safe. Are there any things in particular that you think would be quick fixes that would help people to be more satisfied with our train service? What are the main things that people really care about, do you think?
Well, again, it is overcrowding and fares. I mean, the quick fix is very difficult. The fares can be quickly fixed with the government, and we were pleased that they backed down from inflation-busting rail fare increases this January. There's something else we're pushing for, and excuse me, just last week some of my colleagues had a meeting with the Transport Minister, Baroness Kramer, to discuss getting together an integrated transport authority for Somerset, because there isn't one, and no one's coordinating buses and trains. There's no through ticketing and no sort of, you know, nothing equivalent to an Oyster card. And Somerset County Council seems to have a very sort of hands-off attitude that you know, the trains and buses can run themselves and it's not our problem, really. And an integrated transport authority, not just to coordinate buses and trains, but ITAs, where they have them in most of our major cities, they seem to be able to shout louder and get more funding and improve services. So we think that would help.
Is that realistic for towns in Somerset? Is it possible?
I think it is. excuse me. I mean, as I say, they do tend to be, these ITAs, they do tend to be in the major cities, but why not? Let's have a rural one as well, you know. Yeah, obviously you can't have an hourly rail service to every tiny village in Somerset. That's not realistic, but, you know, the where railways do exist, there's scope for improvement.
Okay, Bruce, good to have you with us. Bruce Williamson from Rail Future there. They campaign for better rail services.